The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Pro America Report on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, everybody, to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Height. I am filling in again today for Mr. Ed Martin. I'll go ahead and drop just a little bit of information, I suppose. Ed and his wife are celebrating their 20th anniversary this weekend, so he's actually out. But I am filling in here. We're going to go ahead and replay. I've picked out a few guests. Didn't have time to get some new interviews, but there are a few things that I think we should re-listen to from this past week or two. A couple of guests today and a couple tomorrow that are really important. But before we get to that today in the show, I wanted to let you know what you need to know. And we're going to kind of wrap up the last couple of days here. We have talked this week almost endlessly, it feels like, about Donald Trump, about Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, and the absolutely just mind-bogglingly bad prosecutorial abuse of power that is happening there. What's going on is as they are pursuing a political enemy, these leftist DAs backed by Soros, installed by, awful just cities that are run rampant with bad policy. These folks, as they're marching forward, I'm not sure we could overstate how much this is the most important issue we're facing. And this is kind of spurred by Ron DeSantis calling it a circus and a manufactured crisis, which is true. It is. It's a circus and a manufactured crisis. A lot of people, though, are unhappy that DeSantis isn't going further in criticizing. And let me tell you why. I'm not here to defend DeSantis or bash him. What I'm here to let you know about is why this is such a big issue, why a lot of folks feel, and rightly so, like we almost can't overstate this enough. Think about it. Taxpayer-paid prosecutors are using their power at the local, the state, and the federal level to target, prosecute, persecute, and abuse the rights of their political opponents, of people whose politics they disagree with. These are not criminals. These are political opponents for whom we are forming crimes. That's what's happening. And this isn't just Donald Trump. This is all interconnected. If you look across the spectrum of what's going on right now, the January 6th detainees, the vast majority of which we've got, what, trespassing, vandalism, things that they shouldn't have done, things that are against the law, but we're not talking about felonies. We're not talking about capital crimes. And yet these people have been held without all of the due process that ought to come to them as American citizens. They've been held now for over 2 years. In fact, the government is going out and rounding up more people to put in jail over this. People who were there at a protest. People who walked into the Capitol when maybe they shouldn't have. Because, as we now know from footage, the police just flung the doors open wide. What bigger issue could there almost be right now than this? And this is what I want. I kind of did this on reverse. Here's what you need to know. We need to think like Phyllis. We need to think like Phyllis Schlafly. I always look and apply. Where did this come from? What does this issue mean? How does it fit in the hierarchy of what needs to be dealt with? Phyllis was a master at doing this. And she called out issues that you would think isn't as important as another. And when you're prioritizing them morally, maybe you'll get there. But if you look at, if we can't deal with this, we lose our platform to deal with all the rest. And that's what's happening here. Think about the ramifications of government agents, using their power to persecute, to abuse the rights of, to imprison indefinitely their political opponents. That cannot be allowed in America. That is a problem that will take away our free platform, the freedom in America that we have to debate. That will remove it. That must be dealt with. As big a deal as the border is, as important an issue as abortion is and saving life, for all of us who are conservatives, this issue has to be viewed as one of the biggest, if not the biggest priority that we face right now. this has to be dealt with. It's a big deal. That's why we keep talking about it. So this Manhattan DA versus Donald Trump, plug that in to all of the other things that are going on. The prosecutorial abuse of power across the country, across the levels of state, local, and federal power. This has to be dealt with. It's a big deal. And that's why we keep talking about it. So that's what we need to do. Think like Phyllis Schlafly. We need to prioritize and realize where this issue falls in the hierarchy of what must be dealt with now. And it's time to step up and encourage and demand that Congress take action. It's time to encourage and demand that good attorneys general and good prosecutors stand up against this, that good judges smack down this abuse. Because the reality is, at the end of the day, these folks know they're not going to win. Alvin Bragg trumping up all of these charges, the Department of Justice dragging their feet on the January 6th stuff. This is not going to go anywhere eventually. But the process is the punishment. The process is the punishment. So we got to prioritize these things. We have to realize how important this is. And I really don't think that there is any overstating just how grave of an issue this is that faces our nation right now. So that's what you need to know. That's why we keep talking about it. And I think that's one of the things to keep in mind, not just here, but across the spectrum as we look at political issues as they come up. Sometimes we weight something heavier than another. And it's not just because of the morality of the situation. It's because of the urgency of what it's going to affect here in this grand American experiment. So that's what you need to know. And we're going to come right back after the break. We will dive into a couple of great interviews, and then we'll come back and wrap up the show. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for sticking with us. And we will talk to you right here after the break. Pro America Report. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. A few weeks ago, I got a copy of a book. My friends over at Skyhorse Publishing, I like them very much, Tony Lyons and his team. And they sent me this book by Dr. Joseph Ladapo, who is very prominent nationally. People know him nationally because he's been commentating and out there, but he's the Surgeon General of Florida. And that's where he first maybe sort of got some attention. But his book is called Transcend Fear, a blueprint for mindful leadership in public health. Perfectly positioned to write about this, having been at the forefront of the pandemic. He also has a background as a medical doctor and a PhD in public policy and health. So, Dr. Ladapo, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Hey, thank you for having me on. I'm very happy to be joining you.
So now, you don't know this, I'll tell you, I'm married to a doctor, an internal medicine doctor, and so I'm familiar with the frustrations of doctors dealing with the medical system and insurance companies, all these kinds of things. But I joke with her, normal patients, and I've learned this, have a, it's not a fear, they have a nervousness around doctors. I think they call it the white coat syndrome or something like that. But, and so fear is something that a doctor's got to deal with, whether it's a little old lady in front of him or a 5-year-old kid, and you have to manage that, right? And so my first question is, it seems like there's a lot of distrust that's grown, especially from citizens or patients of their doctors. It's almost like the hardest relationship that's shifted in the last maybe 30 or 40 years.
Oh, I agree with you. And the data also agree with you. Unfortunately, both doctors and federal organizations like the CDC have lost a lot of trust over the last few years. And you're right. It was always a complicated relationship when people come to care. They come because they don't personally have the expertise to address their questions. So there's already an asymmetry of power. But what we saw over the pandemic with doctors, unfortunately, many doctors advocating policies that made zero sense, like keeping kids home from school, even though the risks from that were very low. And from any exposure to the virus were extremely low. And in fact, keeping them home was a much riskier strategy for them. And of course, the constant support of masks for little kids. I mean, that's just nonsensical. Those things erode trust. And that's part of what we're seeing.
So again, we're talking with Dr. Joseph Lodapo, and he is the Florida Surgeon General, and his book is called Transcend Fear by Skyhorse Publishing. In the book, I like this very beginning, early in the you're talking about your career, but you get to the end of the chapter and you have specific bullet points. They're bolded, four of them, on points about how patients should act. So you're the doctor. Everybody's already got your credentials, but you're talking about how your wife had gone through some health issues. And the four are: speak up. Don't be afraid to ask for a specialist. Don't feel bad about asking to speak with a patient advocate. And then the last one is: share your health challenges with others and don't stop searching for help. My question, that sounds like a surgeon general, because you're saying, hey, there's a million ways you got to worry about your health, right? And they, this is giving you the patients a sort of a proactive approach, which I liked a lot in the book, by the way. And again, the book is Transcend Fear. But it is the world right now, healthcare, it feels like it's dominated by only two things. And I'd say this because my wife's expertise is geriatric. The first one is COVID and vaccines. And, you know, and what does it mean when we're at least misled, if not lied to, by some of the COVID vaccine people? And then the second one to me is seniors and health, right? There's no, especially you're in Florida, is dominating our lives. The future of our spending as well as our care is how wonderful it is to have people live so long, but they have constant health care needs. Those two things are dominating. And then inside the rest of it, it feels to me like there's an epidemic of loneliness and disconnection among normal people. A pretty hard time to be in the public health field, feels like, is it?
Oh, you're absolutely right. And it is fun that your wife is your partner. Your wife is a doctor. It's interesting because I would say that The first two are just, things are never going to be perfect. You're always going to encounter those challenges.
Right.
But the third one, I think, is actually the most pernicious, the disconnection.
Yeah.
And as much as we love social media, I fortunately did not grow up in a period where it was dominant. Now it really is dominant. And it creates this opportunity for alternative reality, if you will.
Yeah,
but it's really unhealthy. I mean, how are you going to be, you know, connected to the things that matter in life, nature, other people, physical contact, sunrises, sunsets, ocean, wind, if you're spending a lot of your time looking at likes and looking at videos? And clearly there's some addictive, maybe too strong of a word, but there is some compelling force with that. We see people whose lives are totally dominated by that, but it's not healthy, and it creates disconnection. And I'll add one other thing, which is that when you have disconnection, unfortunately, it makes people very susceptible to some of the fear strategies that we saw over the last few years. And it makes people very susceptible to agreeing and going along with very bad policies. So getting back to connection with yourself, connection with your heart, connection with your soul, connection with other people, that is one of the reasons I wrote the book.
We're talking again with Dr. Joseph Lodapo. He's the Surgeon General of Florida, and his book is bigger, transcends his job. It's called Transcend Fear, A Blueprint for Mindful Leadership in Public Health. Pausing for one second on that, I didn't mean to stick with this, but I want to. It's very difficult, though, to have my wife used to tell me, those ads that are on TV, then her patients will come in and say, I saw it on TV, I want this drug, right? That was persuasive sometimes, especially if you're watching, say, Fox News and you're a senior and you see over and over again some pharma medicine, you know, that they go in and ask for it. Well, that's old fashioned advertising, and none of it's terrible. I mean, I'm not complaining about it. It's kind of, you could discuss how much medicine should be influenced by it, but it is what it is. What's different is the power of social media and big tech and regular media to deliver a message. I mean, we just went through what will, I think, if we have enough time in our next, 50 years to study it, incredible campaigns of persuasion around public health that turned out to be, again, at least not exactly right, if not downright lies. I mean, you go from masks, you go to vaccines, you go to lockdowns, you can go to specific drugs, or whether, and some of them, by the way, are drugs we wish would have worked. You know, the chloroquine derivatives. I did a stint in Indonesia when I was in my 20s. We took for malaria a quinine product, or however you say that, all the time. It didn't hurt us, but all these things. And yet the media and the tech sort of frankly brainwashed a lot of us to think something, and it worked.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those have been major problems, and I agree with you. And it's okay to say. I mean, it was right. Deceptive. Right. One really good way to just because I agree to it. It's hard to believe. How could it be that the FDA and the CDC and the media are working in this coordinated way? It just doesn't seem like it's possible. But that's actually what happened. And one example I really like to really ground oneself in fact is this. Mm-hmm. Remember how long the CDC and the media were quiet about natural immunity? They denied the existence of natural immunity for over a year. I mean, I think it was probably close to a year and a half. They denied the existence of natural immunity. That is profound. How could you? And by the way, the data were in within months. And I mean that in the sense that when people were getting infected and you look at who's getting infected, did they have a prior history of infection? In the first year, the answer was almost always no. And that those data were available, but denied. And of course, denied because the intention was to essentially get people to take these mRNA COVID-19 vaccines no matter what the facts are. So that's what happened. And I mean, it's unfortunate. It's cost them a lot of credibility. And historically, I think it's going to look even worse, actually, than what we're seeing right now.
Again, we're talking with Dr. Joseph Lodapo, the Florida Surgeon General, who's got a book, Transcend Fear, A Blueprint for Mindful Leadership in Public Health, Skyhorse Publishing. Towards the end of the book, it's actually Gavin De Becker, who I noticed he wrote a sort of afterword, and he himself is an author, but he quoted you, and he quoted you that I had missed a quote during the text. It says that you wrote this, and he's quoting you, highlighting it. Measures that severely restrict a person's freedom should only be used in emergent situations, and always with the greatest degree of caution. I'll skip forward a little bit. The last line of that little paragraph, you say, and it is inhumane to keep someone restrained for any longer than is absolutely necessary. The same model should be applied to the implementation of the severest public health measures. My point, which I agree with you, and why the book I think is important and valuable in what you're doing, is you're going to have crises, right? We have hurricanes sometimes. We're going to have another crisis. The question is, what's the principles that limit the power of government and the decisions we make? Even the decisions we all make are limited. And one of the key things is this notion of personal freedom / autonomy somehow, and that you've got to have that as a final bulwark. I guess the question is, what's really holding that in place? Used to be, you know, say Hippocratic Oath, but maybe just the practice of medicine. The doctors knew you wouldn't overstep and people trusted them. Well, patients don't trust them the same way. Doctors don't necessarily trust the government the same way or academia the same way. Feels like that bulwark to hold the line on overstepping limitations on personal freedom. It's like when I tell people, you can sue me civilly, that's a big problem, and money is in some way freedom. But if you're criminally charging me and taking away my liberty, we got a different standard in America. The bulwark to hold us feels like that bulwark, the wall holding us, is really floppy if it's existing at all.
Yeah. It's a great point. And it is true. It really comes down to science and judgment. And you can have all the scientific data you want, but that won't tell you. That's not going to teach you how to make wise decisions. And the wisdom is what keeps us in check. What the forefathers of this country, I mean, clearly they were just gifted by God with copious, I mean, tremendous amounts of wisdom, their ability to make judgments about things that no data will inform. And that's really been a problem. The ability to exercise wise judgment was just clearly thrown out the window during the pandemic. And the quote you shared was me expressing from what I believe is a way to navigate public health in a way that demonstrates wisdom. I mean, we would be so much better off right now if we could do the whole thing again. And, you know, unfortunately, there still would be bad things that happened. But right now, we're really torn apart. And it's because people, leaders, federal leaders, CDC, FDA, federal government, just totally failed to exercise wise judgment. And you're correct. It is that difference between policies that that are more limiting in the area of civil judgment and policies that are appropriate for more severe things. But we were using severe policies for things that, right. that should have been civil cases.
Right, right. You know, Dr. Ladapo, one of the reasons is really not really nice and a service that you wrote this book. You could have, you've written papers and academic stuff, and you had an academic career before you were in this, and you still do actually. I mean, you still are also in academia. I think, is it right at the University of Florida? Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
So you have an academic career. So you didn't step away from that, but you know, you've written a lot of papers. This is a book that's more aimed at sort of we the people, and I will say one of the things that has to happen, I think, in order to have more wise decisions, is we need more wise leaders that rise up. It's not just going to be the president. It's not just going to be the governor. It's going to be the surgeon general or your pastor or who are making wise, humble decisions that have a, and the book Transcend Fear, I think, lays out what you see as a way to go forward on these hard issues. I want to finish by asking you, what happens in a world, and I don't know why anyone would know this or care, but you happen to be an African American, right? So I don't know why it would matter, but there you have it. You went to Harvard and all these top places. And yet, as you're leaving UCLA, according to the book, to come take this job, which is a plum job. I mean, Florida's a top five city, a state, and you're getting a big time job, and you're dealing with colleagues who are not questioning your academic credentials or work. They're questioning your judgment, but they're not just disagreeing, they're dismissing you. And how does it work when, I mean, you know, the dean of a law school like UCLA, I mean, a med school like UCLA, that's supposed to be like a lion of wisdom. That you don't get there without having kind of been a good doctor and been a heck of a talent. And yet at that level in these key places, you can't go there, it looks like, to get wise. I'm not asking you to blame any one of them. I'm just saying that these systems and universities are fraught with this judgmentalism that's not, I'm sorry, I made that mistake. It's, why are you bringing that up? You're wrong to have a different theory.
Oh yeah, no, that's true, and that's just a whole nother ball.
It's another book.
What's happening with universities right now, and the indoctrination? It's not a joke. I mean, it is definitely happening at UCLA. I had to complete a diversity and equity and inclusion statement in order to obtain tenure. That was part of my promotion package. I think it was even part of my hiring package. And those policies have just gotten worse and worse. I mean, those policies they're like a runaway train in terms of the ideology and where it's trying to take everyone to. So that is another whole ball of yarn.
Another book. Another book. All right. Well, hey, thank you for being out there and trying to be seen as well as doing wise decisions. I think it's important for people to grow and find these new people they can look up to. Dr. Joseph Ladapo, again, the book is Transcend Fear, A Blueprint for Mindful Leadership in Public Health, forward by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., as well as I mentioned the afterword. Thanks very much. Skyhorse Publishing, by the way. Appreciate it very much, Doc, and good luck with everything. We'll hope to have you on again.
Thanks so much. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. We will, I'll make sure to put up, I'll put up the link to the book and also, to, Dr. Ladapo's, biography and others so you can get familiar. I think that's a very good sign. Someone like him is willing to be out and leading and communicating, writing a book and going on radio. So we will take a break. We'll be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Our friend Chris Chmielinski, who's over at Numbers USA, vice president over there. I got an email that he had some of the inside scoop on what's going on over on Capitol Hill. Now that there's divided government, at least in the Congress, you've got Republicans having a Homeland Security meeting, a committee meeting, for example, a hearing, the House Homeland Security Committee. And now the Democrats in the minority are not happy. And in this case, they are planning hearing has been focused on the immigration question. Of course, Homeland Security seems to fit there. But in an interesting twist, the Democrats are boycotting, but they also invited ICE officials to attend. So first of all, Chris Chmielinski, welcome back. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me back on.
You're welcome, and thanks for taking the time. I know you're out and about and covering a lot of these issues. NumbersUSA.org, by the way, NumbersUSA.org is the website. Tons of resources there. First of all, Chris, tell us how new leadership in the House means there's hearings like are going on and what that means and what the broadly speaking, what the light that's shining upon this, you know, means.
Right. Yeah. This is about the fourth hearing, I believe, that House Republicans have had in this new Congress since they've taken over the gavel in the House. Both down at the border and in Washington, D.C. combined. So, and you've got both two different committees in the House that sort of have jurisdiction over the border situation. You have House Judiciary, which oversees immigration issues, and then you have Homeland Security, which oversees border security issues. And that's who's holding this field hearing down at the border, the House Homeland Security Committee. So, you know, they're down there, they're on the ground, they want to see what's happening with their own eyes, and they want to talk to the people on the ground. It's one thing to have the hearings in D.C. and bring people in. It's a totally different situation to be able to see firsthand what some of these people that they're bringing in to testify with your own eyes, to see what they're saying, have it match the visuals that they're seeing at the same time. You know, it's pretty impactful to do it this way. You know, unfortunately, not all the House Democrats are on board with this situation. But the border is something that they would prefer to avoid and not get involved with, I think.
Right. Well, Chris Chmielinski is our guest, and that's mentioned the hearing is down at the southern border, and they'll be hearing, you know, just a couple of days ago, was it last week? We had over 1,000. I think the estimates were 1,000 or so of the migrants. They rushed one of the bridges down by El Paso. We have had reports of the numbers surging. You know, there's a federal court ruling that the policies of the Biden administration, catch and release, which has been sent out like a bat signal, like the Biden bat signal to all over the world, was come to the border in America. Once you get across, they'll take your name and they'll let you loose into America. You may or may not ever have to show up at anything. So there's a lot, as you point, a lot of reason to have a visual. What's the and you know, we don't know if anything will pass the Senate. So this is part of making the argument and getting people talking about it. Chris, your experience, Numbers USA, Vice President Chris Chmielinski, it still doesn't seem like it's getting as much attention. I mean, I just don't. It's amazing to me that this is as big a border-ish set of issues we've had in 30 years, and it's just not getting mainstream media coverage.
It's really amazing. I mean, with the numbers that we have seen sustained for the last 2 years,
right.
and just for your listeners' benefit, it's not official yet, but the unofficial reports for border apprehensions by Border Patrol agents in February is still in the 125,000 range. This is significantly above normal levels, and while it's not as high as some of the other months that we've seen, it's still a really high number, especially when you compare them historically. And we only had a month or two of numbers approaching 100,000 under the Trump administration, and you would have thought that the border had just disappeared, and that the Trump administration was doing nothing down there. But this has been going on; it's been sustained for 2 years. Very, very little reporting. But it's interesting because every single time the Biden administration makes an announcement on how they're going to pivot to address the border situation, that gets front page news coverage.
Yeah.
But when a report comes out that they've apprehended 150,000 people, you know, crickets, you can't find it anywhere.
Well, and that's right. And even, you know, it's almost so clearly dishonest, media coverage is some of the ways the Biden administration is reporting the numbers. We've had on other guests that have explained, you know, they're fudging the numbers to try to make you feel, and it's being reported like a straight man in comedy that the media covers and doesn't say, oh, wait, there's still just as many coming across. It's just they're only reporting this number over here. They changed the definition now. And one after another are these examples. What about the Democrats, completely boycotting the Homeland Security hearing at the border? Is that, in the idiot world of Congress, is that common? Did the Republicans skip hearings? Is this something? Because obviously they can't be sitting there and have the coverage and have these stories. I don't think that, because the Democrats end up having to sort of eat all of Biden's policies. But is this common? And is it, is that what you'd expect? Or is this kind of surprising and a bit, beyond the pale?
For a field hearing, it doesn't shock me. Okay. You've got members of Congress, they're at home this week, they're meeting with their constituents, they've got town halls planned. So while this was on the calendar, you know, even though it would be on the taxpayers' dime, you know, this isn't something that the members of Congress wanted to do. They want to be at home in their districts, at least Democratic members do. A lot of them, the Republican members are a little bit more motivated to find out what's happening down there, expose what's happening, and just try to find out some solutions from the people on the ground, potential solutions from people on the ground. So it doesn't surprise me. But the thing is we have seen Democrats skip over hearings that are in D.C. And that's a little bit more surprising, a little bit more unusual. You don't get perfect attendance at some of these committee hearings. Yeah. Members have other things going on. They sit on multiple committees. So sometimes those committee hearings conflict with others and they have to sort of pick and choose. So that's not surprising, but they have. There have been some instances where they've completely skipped some of these border hearings that the Republicans have had, and it's unusual. But again, it just lends to the amount of attention that the Democratic establishment right now, they just want to pretend like there's nothing going on at the border. There's nothing to see there. Biden administration has it under control. There's more pressing issues facing the country right now.
Well,
that's,
you know,
the way I think they view it.
You know, we're talking with Chris Chmielewski at Numbers USA, and numbersusa.org is the website. You go there. That Numbers USA doesn't really care if you're a Republican and you're bad on some of these policies. They're happy to critique Republicans. They're about the policies and the lower immigration levels and the conversation on this. So I give you that credit, Chris. But here's what I'd say. You know, the Democrats, you have to give them credit for this. On a field hearing like this, if they don't show up at all, if any one of them shows up, it becomes a story about the conflict, right? Because you'd expect a Democrat who's sitting there to say, oh, that's not totally true. You know, that's one-sided. Not showing up gives the excuse, unfair though it may be, for the media to ignore it. And they will. They want to anyway. Do you expect, Chris, that some of these types of hearings, and maybe they've already been taking place, will also take place in sort of what would be called regular order and not field ones, but over in the Capitol and in the setting where the absence of members would be more jarring and more obvious? Can you hear me, Chris? I think I lost him for a second. Oh, there he's coming back. Hold on. There we lost Chris for a moment, and here he is coming back. So, Chris, I'm not sure. Chris, I'm not sure how much of that question you had me asking, but I did you hear me say that the Democrats skipping the hearing sort of guarantees that the media can ignore it? And can we expect that there'll be hearings up in on Capitol Hill and in the Capitol that will be more sort of obvious that Democrats are skipping and make it sort of necessary that they be there? Maybe they've already had some of those hearings.
They have. And there's been a little bit of attention on the hearings that they've had in D.C. You know, it's sort of a catch-22, though, because you know that the hearings that they know that the media will concentrate on, they're going to show up for those. They're going to make sure that right. they're there and they're present and the, right. And the cameras see them. You know, the meetings that aren't going to garner a whole lot of media attention, you know, they can skip over those and there's really no penalty, for them skipping them because nobody knows about it unless they hear about things, hear about the situation on shows like yours, you know, so. I think we'll eventually see some legislation brought to the floor by the House Republicans, and that will have to go through the committees. Right. And when they have hearings on those individual bills and eventually markups, I think you'll see a little bit better participation from the Democrats.
Yeah, there you go. I think that's so well. But at least some of the members of Congress are on offense in the direction of, I think, what many of us think is one of the major problems, issues that's facing our country every single day, every hour, and getting not as much attention by design by the Democrats and I think by the media. But at least we're playing offense to get the word out. So, hey, thanks, Christian Malinsky. I'm out of time. Again, numbersusa.org. There's a lot of there, lots of information. Also, resources on the policies and others. Check it out, numbersusa.org. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, we will take a break. We'll be right back. Sorry for that hiccup there, and I'm glad we got Chris back so quickly. So we'll be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. And we're upholding the legacy of Phyllis Schlafly, grassroots activist, author of 27 books, and articulate voice for traditional values for more than 70 years. Now, here's the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
If you've ever been in a dialogue about illegal immigration, you've probably heard the standard line that those who come across our southern border illegally are all upstanding people who just want a better life for their families. What if I told you that the people who smuggle illegals across the border are actively putting their children in harm's way to keep from being caught? A groundbreaking investigation by the Daily Caller News Foundation uncovered this shocking trend. Goliad County, Texas, might not be directly on the border, but Sheriff Roy Boyd encounters human trafficking all too often. He explained that smugglers will intentionally keep their children in the car when transporting illegal immigrants in order to provide cover for their crimes. Sheriff Boyd explains, "For them, it's all about cover when it gets stopped. Totally pretend like they're out doing something legitimate. And a lot of times when we encounter them, they'll tell their kids to lay down and pretend to be asleep, or sometimes the kids will be asleep because they left the house at 1 o'clock in the morning." Sheriff Boyd isn't the only sheriff noticing this problem. In Pinal County, Arizona, a smuggler was stopped with her five-month-old and one-year-old in the car. To avoid capture, the woman chose to flee police. In the ensuing police chase, the woman attempted to ram law enforcement vehicles with her car, all while her children were in the back seat. As Sheriff Mark Lamb explained, "These human smuggling attempts are incredibly dangerous for all involved, including law enforcement, the general public, those being trafficked illegally, and unfortunately in this case, innocent children. Illegal immigration across our southern border is not a victimless crime. Innocent Americans and even the illegal immigrants themselves are put at risk when lax immigration policies encourage dangerous attempts to cross the southern border. The only compassionate course of action our federal government could take is to do everything within our power to prevent these border crossings. No more innocent children should be put at risk to advance the political agenda of the radical left. Stop illegal immigration now."
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report with Ed Martin, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. What's the latest on building the wall to protect our southern border? To the liberal media, it's a joke. But the crisis of illegal aliens is no laughing matter. At PhyllisSchlafly.com, we're asking serious questions regarding what to build, who's paying for it, and how best to deploy our military. Go to PhyllisSchlafly.com and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Hey, welcome back to the final segment here of the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Height filling in again still for Ed Martin, and I wanted to give you a quick what you need to do. We talked at the beginning of the show about out-of-control prosecutors. What do we do about it? What do you need to do about it? You got to remember, these folks are elected. These folks are elected to their office, and there are a lot of municipal elections coming up. April 4th. April 4th is a big one. There are going to be elections in Missouri, Nebraska, California, Colorado, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Illinois. Tons of places across the country are having municipal elections. Go and start to look at the ballot right now. Find your sample ballot. Look people up and know who's there. Make these changes from the bottom up, and we will see change all the way to the national level. So, thanks for joining us today. Go to ProAmericaReport.com. Find all the podcasts and segments. Sign up for the email list. We will look forward to seeing you tomorrow on the Pro America Report. We'll talk to you then.
This is the Pro America Report on The Answer San Diego.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.